Hi, dear movie breakers. We are still at the Tallinn Film Festival, and now we are entering slowly the final third of the festival. And I'm here with one of the main stars of the festival, Trine Dyrholm. Hi.
Hi.
You're presenting here not a film, but a series, because there's a special section called TV Beats Screening. Many festivals are introducing or have introduced also TV programs and series, and Tallinn has done the same. And your series is called The Danish Woman.
Yes.
And you are literally the Danish woman in this series.
Yes.
Would you like to talk a little bit about your character? Because it's very unusual. She's a retired Secret Service agent who moves to Iceland and can't really let go of her work persona.
No, exactly. I mean, the description is kind of like if you mix Napoleon, Pippi Longstocking, and Rambo, you have this Danish woman and she lives next door. I mean, she used to be a Secret Service and now she retires. And she moved to Iceland and have a little garden and starts to interfering in the little community and wants to help. But her methods is kind of brutal because of her past.
It's very interesting because she's this kind of neighbor type that probably many middle-class people know, the kind of person who always mingles into others' business. But only she has really brutal, drastic methods to get things done if she doesn't like.
Well, this is a black comedy, so it's based on some quite political issues that is underneath. Denmark used to colonize Iceland, so there are a lot of comments on that. You know, she comes up and she doesn't understand why they don't speak Danish because they have it in school. So there are a lot of like making fun of this relationship. You know, she has some flashbacks also because she used to be a soldier at war, in different wars, where Denmark also was part of Iraq, Afghanistan, and Bosnia. The biggest issue for her is the climate, and she wants to protect that. And she's like haunting everybody that is having a huge car and mowing the lawn. And she's like questioning all these things that we're doing, basically. A wonderful Icelandic director called Benedikt Erlingsson. And he did two feature films before, Of Horses and Men and Woman at War. And this is his first TV series. But he has like a special style that is based on very serious topics, but still have a very like comedy vibe. So it is really black comedy.
Does black comedy appeal to you more than light comedy?
Well, I think that for me, I laugh more if it has a deeper meaning somehow, or if it's like quirky and weird and special like this is. But it's not only about laughing. It's just about also putting a mirror in the society we have today and this little community in an apartment building in Reykjavik becomes a metaphor for all small communities, and then comes an empire and try to do good, but maybe the way they do it is not so good.
Some of the jokes are really borderline. For example, there are jokes about waterboarding, about torture, also a lot of jokes about colonism. And while the Icelandic are a pretty privileged white group, and the power balance is very different than if it would be like people of color, for example, being colonized, it still has an ambivalent ring. Did you talk or discuss those jokes, or was it always okay for you?
What do you mean? Like something you can't say, or?
No, but were you at some point worried that the jokes would be politically sensitive, or?
Of course it is politically sensitive. That's the whole point. I mean, it's not jokes just to be jokes. It's important issues. But the director wants us to laugh about some things and maybe start talking about what kind of world are we building. And we have some, usually it's male empire guys that are trying to rule the world in different ways, and this is kind of commenting on all that.
Your role also is quite intense. You have even a few fight scenes. How did you prepare for it?
I mean, this is just a huge part because I have a lot of languages. I had to learn a little bit Icelandic. I have a lot in English. I speak Danish, some Arabic, some Polish. And she has a lot to say. So she has like long monologues about how we should live and questioning a lot of things. And then, of course, the physical. How did I prepare? I moved to Iceland for the whole period and every weekend. And of course, like we had like weeks of rehearsals with all the actors and stunt. Then basically every weekend we had rehearsals again. So it was very intense. And I had a very good time up there because it's a beautiful country and some very dedicated people. And the cast is amazing. A lot of Icelandic actors that are really, really lovely. It was a huge challenge for me because it is really a special piece. And in a way, I was attracted to the project because I've never read anything like this. You know, it came to me and I know the director's work, which I really like. And then this kind of like, what is this? And I thought it was so rich in important topics. It's almost cartoonish in the way that it's written. And I just was very attracted to try to work with this material.
It is actually a mini series, mm-hmm. so it is still contained.
Mm-hmm.
How intense was the shoot compared to a film shoot? Would you say it was more or more relaxed?
This was one of the biggest challenges I've had, of course, because I was shooting every day and we had like 55 shooting days or something like that in a row. And also I have a lot of singing. Also, I have 11 songs.
I wanted to ask you about this.
Yeah. So, of course, before I started shooting, I went to the studio to record all the songs. And the songs are covers of Scandinavian or Nordic music. And some of the songs are translated into Danish. So the Danish woman, like, take everything and does it Danish somehow. That was also part of the show. So I'm singing everything myself, and it was a fun layer for me also. It's not often that you get a character that is so complex and so difficult and so like brutal and tough. On the other hand, she has this like PTSD going on. She's destroyed by society. And then you have all this singing and dancing, and we had to do all the credit scenes that are the singing and dancing. We had to do that in 3 days on the mountains.
Yes, you have even started your career with singing since it was the Grand Prix, the Danish Grand Prix, where you as a teenager still shot off your career.
Yeah.
How was it to go back to these experiences? And do you like to bury it or do you love to connect with it?
No, I love to connect with it, definitely. And I mean, also this opens up for a new like desire to sing a little bit more for me because it was really fun. I really enjoyed to be in the studio and explore the songs. And
do you like TV work, which you have also done in the past, more than cinematic work?
I've mostly done cinematic work. So for me, I did a TV series called The Legacy. That was 3 seasons. I also directed some episodes in that. Back then I did a TV series when I was very young called Taxi. Then I've done a few like German. I haven't done a lot of TV. I've mostly done films. But I think once in a while, it's really fun to have a longer format. And also, you know, when you have a character like this, you can really like explore different ways. And I think it's very fun and challenging. And I'm always looking for challenges. And I'm also looking for material that somehow starts discussion or a dialogue or moves people or whatever the material does, at least something that is important for the director.
During the series, there are so many bizarre things that happen. Was there anything really bizarre or weird that happened during the shoot that you want to share?
Nothing really pops up because, I mean, it was, the director is really specific. And, you know, this Danish woman, she sabotaged things. And, you know, he has his way of, I should do like this and this and this and this, like in a specific order. Then she takes the sock on her head. Then she, you know, it's just like he really built it up, that character of being a soldier, but in normal life with what you have, you know. Then you have a chicken that is rotten and then you use that for something, you know. That is how he thinks. So I mean, they kind of make that clash of what we know and then put it into daily life. I don't know if something bizarre happened. A lot of things happened. I mean, there was a volcano eruption when we were there. That's pretty
unusual wild
for me. I was living in an apartment because I was there so long. And then he called me from his hotel. Trine, there is an eruption. And then, you know, we just drove out with the car and watched this unbelievable power of nature. And every day, you know, in Iceland, the mountains are just right there. So for me, that was special to every morning say hello to the mountain and then go to work.
How much influence did you have on your character? Was it all on the script or did you change it?
It was all on the script. Then, I mean, of course, you always change something, but this is really difficult to the vision of the director and the writer, Olafur Egilsson and Benedict. They kind of really made this together. So what I could do is I could kind of go maybe a little deeper into the background story, the flashbacks, and like try to also go in and out of what is going on inside of that woman. So I could try to put emotions into the whole thing, even though she is pretty attached somehow from her own.
And how about the songs? Did you have a choice in them? Did you pick certain songs?
No, I didn't pick. I mean, it was all set, but I was part of how it's done. And, you know, I was part of the arrangement. Yeah, with the composer. He it's a Finnish, very talented guy, Matti Kallio, and he arranged the whole thing. But we met very early and just tried to find the right tunes and, you know, like discussing what this song can do and stuff. So it was very collaborative. So I feel that I've been part of it, but it was very specific and rich when I came on board. And I've been on board for like many years because it has taking time to finance, because, you know, it's sometimes with things like this, that is not like something we have seen before or like where to place it. So it took a little while to finance it.
Now you're presenting your series at Tallinn. Is it your first time at the festival?
No, we premiered in, I was in the jury some years ago and I also had some films up here. So I've been here and I've also been shooting in Tallinn. I did a film called Birthday Girl that also premiered here at the festival, but we were shooting, so it's very nice to be back in Tallinn because, you know, this is where I used to have lunch and this is where I, you know, had a massage once. And, you know, I know the city in that sense and it's really nice to be back. I know a lot of people here.
So that relates to the next question, is if you have a favorite festival or one that you love to visit.
Well, I have a lot of favorites, to be honest. And I've been lucky and privileged to be invited back to some of the festivals that I've attended. So I've been in Berlin a lot of times. So that, of course, is a festival that is close to my heart because I've been there many, many times. But I've also been to Venice and I've been to Tallinn a couple of times and Thessaloniki. And, you know, I just really, I love the reason why I love to be traveling at festivals is, of course, to present your work to an audience. And it's so different, you know, you meet different cultures. And it's just very interesting to talk to the audience and do Q&As. And then, of course, it's also to connect with other filmmakers. And you meet a lot of interesting people. And some of them I have plans of working with. And some of them I've already worked with because we met at some festival and shared some thoughts. And, you know, that's also the way it works. Especially if you, like me, are more interested in the independent cinema movement. And I feel very attached to the European cinema. So traveling at festival makes sense because you watch people's work and you meet people and you get a little knowledge about how it works in different countries and with the funding systems. And we're really in a time where we need each other more than ever in Europe. And I really try to fight for European cinema.
Are there festivals you would still love to visit for press? There's always so many places we would love to go, but how is it for film artists?
Well, there are a lot of festivals I haven't been. But I mean, I always try to, if it's possible for me to attend, I try to say yes, but usually I'm working on other projects. So it's not often that I actually have time to travel so much. This year has been a lot of traveling because I also had The Girl with the Needle out and we were Oscar nominated and therefore, you know, a lot of work. And I have a new film coming out called Beginnings, a Danish film that I've been traveling with as well. And then this, the Danish woman. So there has been a lot of traveling this year. I have been so also privileged that I can say no to things I don't want to do.
So there's a lot of work. Does it sometimes get too much, or do you love a busy schedule?
I love a busy schedule, but it definitely gets too much. And I'm also at a level now where now I need to get back to real work. And real work means crawl into a character and borrow their eyes and look at the world from their perspective, because that is what I love to do. And I think that's very important these times, that we kind of, yeah, that we look at the world from different perspectives.
Now you're presenting films at festivals, but also series. There's a lot of discussion about if TV or streaming is a competition to cinema. How are your thoughts about the subject?
Well, when I was younger, when I started, it was not fancy to do TV. So, you know, we were like, ah, we don't want to do TV. It's like old fashioned and, you know, not real art or whatever. And then, of course, the last many years, I mean, there was a change suddenly. And some very interesting directors started to do very good stuff on TV. So kind of the artistic voice grew into the TV platform also. And then, of course, there can be a lot of discussions about the streaming platforms and how much power do they have. And I will, of course, always fight for the director's artistic choice. And that's, for instance, also why this, I mean, the producers of The Danish Woman, they protected, you know, like the creative artistic voice. It takes just a little longer to finance these things, because then you might not have a streaming platform right away, you know, because then they also like just sometimes tell you what to do. And that's just a different way of producing. So then you can sell it afterwards, because then you have protected your TV series. But I mean, I love to do both. Maybe more attracted to be honest, more attracted to the film media, because I like stories that are like finished in a way. And I like the format of crawling into the cinema together and sharing all the existential feelings and challenges that we can't put into words. And that sharing and leaning into the collective legacy is really important, I think. And of course, you can also have that when you sit by yourself with your computer, or you also have the feeling that a lot of other people watch this. But still, I really like cinema.
Speaking of finished, is there a chance for a second season to The Danish Woman, or would you say it's done?
Well, that's up to the audience in a way. I mean, if it's like, if they kind of get on board with The Danish Woman, and then we have a lot of ideas how she can evolve and move on into the world and try to fix things.
So to the final question, you already mentioned a few projects that you have lined up. Is there anything specific, big, that you would like to emphasize?
Well, I have this film coming out called Beginnings. It premiered in Berlin, and it will now open in different countries. And I'm playing with David Dencik, a very, very good friend of mine, a Danish actor. We did a film 20 years ago together, and now we are together again in leading parts. It has been a great experience. And we are playing a couple that is facing a divorce, and then my character gets a stroke and is paralyzed in half of the body. A very, very different character from The Danish Woman. It's a film called The Guest that will come out next year, where I play a bipolar mom that crashes her grandchild's baptism, and she's not invited. So it's a family drama about structures. How can we cope with each other?
At the moment, The Danish Woman is still at Talent Film Festival. You can read about it and about Beginnings, which I could already see. It's a great drama at Movie Break. As soon as the series comes in streaming, of course, you get a notifier from us. And I say thank you to Trine Dyrholm.
Thank you.